we'll conclude this study this morning. With a study like this, I would encourage you to continue to study God's Word in relationship to this passage. I've learned a lot from it, and I know I still have a lot to learn. And as with most studies of God's Word, they are, can be, lifelong studies. So as you continue to study this passage, please share with me things that you see in God's Word related to what we've done this month, so we can encourage each other in that way. See, hear, understand, and turn, and I would heal them. I'm hoping, I don't mean to rush, but I'm going to try to watch my time a little bit better. Of course, like I said, no math problem, so that will help a lot. But I want to get to some things toward the end and spend a little bit more time on them. We'll have scriptures, of course, as we have before, for you to read. I did create a handout that has all four lessons on it. So let me know if you're interested in that after class sometime this morning, whenever, and I'll make a copy for you if you would like that. It turned out to be, I was thinking in my mind, okay, I can give you a handout that's one page front and back, but it's two pages front and back with a lesson on each page. But it's basically what we've gone over with the guiding questions, with definitely the scripture. That's the main thing I think you need. Because we looked at a lot of scripture, and we haven't spent a lot of time on each scripture. So that's part of that was because there's so many scriptures related to what we're studying. But also, I would encourage you to go back and study those scriptures in relationship to what we're doing. So please do that. But if you'd like a handout, just let me know, and I'll make sure and get a copy to you. Guiding questions, a few more than usual. Won't spend a lot of time on these as they're entitled guiding questions, meaning once you just kind of think about these things a little bit as we go through our study. And I do have those from the previous lessons on the handout. And I think it's important anytime you go into a study to think about questions that you have. Challenge yourself with questions. And so that's kind of the purpose of these, is to simply challenge us with questions related to what we're about to study. Can we see, hear, and understand, but not turn? Yeah, we can. In fact, that may be probably one of the biggest challenges this group faces. You know, when we look at the world around us, I think a lot of people maybe face the challenge of see, hear, and understanding, but with us in here, I think we're pretty good at seeing, hearing, and understanding, but are we where we need to be on turning? You know, when we face those decisions each day, I'm very confident everybody in here knows what God, what His will is for us with those things that we're challenged with, but do we turn? So I think that's this lesson is very important for us and what God has to say. These next couple of questions, I hope I worded them in a way that will help you think about what I'm thinking about. But when you think of the word turn, in other words, we've studied the last 3 weeks, see, hear, and understand, and now we're to turn, the word turn. But when we've come to that word turn, as you look back on the last 3 weeks, how do you think of see, hear, and understand? And we're not going to get into discussion of that right now. I just want you to kind of be thinking about that as we go through this lesson. If we have time at the end, which I'm sorry, I don't think we will discuss that a little bit more. But how do you think of those words now that we get to the word turn? And think about that as we go through this. The next question, too, as I notice, and you'll notice with Scripture, turn, return, repent, and change. How are those related? And you're going to see they're definitely related. In fact, in a lot of ways, they're the same word, you'll see. Turn, return, repent, and change. So think about that, too, as we move forward. Next couple of questions, I think, are hard. I had, as I looked through this study, definitely caused me to think about this. God has no trouble forgiving us. I think it's always amazing to us just how forgiving God is. But it seems to me sometimes we kind of separate that from our forgiveness of others. Obviously, it's God's forgiveness that is the perfect example that we're looking to. So why do we have trouble forgiving? And I think we only need one of my favorite parables, Matthew 18, that passage at the end, forgive your brother from your heart. I know we all have to kind of stop and think in our own lives. You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to say, yeah, I forgive them. And then God knows if we've forgiven from the heart, doesn't he? Okay, read that parable again in Matthew 18 when you get a chance. That's one of my favorites, especially in regards to forgiveness. But in Matthew 17, simply says, if he repents, forgive him. Doesn't say for us to check their heart, does it? If he repents, forgive him. Okay, and then God will know if we've forgiven from the heart. And then related to that, of course, does God love us? How much? Again, I think we can all give that answer to that question, how much God loves us, that he does love us, and so, so much. And then think about our love for each other. So I want to challenge us with those questions as we go through this lesson this morning. And then think of a time you made a change, okay? I want to make sure we emphasize, and I know one of the things I could have done as an example was come up with all the different changes that we see. You know, we're coming up on the fall, one of my favorite seasons, changing the leaves. There's all kinds of examples of change, but and yeah, while I could use those as examples, I'm talking about so much more than changing the leaves. I'm not minimizing that by any means. That's a beautiful part of God's creation. But the change we're talking about is the change within our heart. So I want you, as we go through this lesson, think about a time you made a change in your life. And I'm not talking about changes in our lives that happen too. We can all relate to that. As we go through life, changes that happen that are just part of life, with family, with health, just all kinds of things that a lot of those kind of things are just kind of beyond our control. They come with life, come with age, don't they? Come with the changing of the seasons. Recently, of course, read Ecclesiastes in our daily Bible reading. So I'm not talking about those kind of changes. I'm talking about the changes that we make in our lives. So think about maybe one you did and what led to that or cause that. And then, of course, the last one, from where does true change come? And again, I think we know the answer to that. We can only have true change if it's centered on Christ. Why can I not depend on myself for change? And, of course, when I say depend on myself, we have a responsibility, of course, to make the change, but God never intended for us to do it all by ourselves, or even more so, to think that we can do it on our own or do it by ourselves. So be thinking about those questions as we go through, and ideally I would already have those in front of you so you could have those as we go through the slide, but I think you got them in your mind now as we go through. So quick review, Isaiah. I'm not going to say, of course, I want you to kind of read through that, remind yourselves of Isaiah in the background there, which, of course, led to the passage in Isaiah 6, where, again, I just want to emphasize, we always kind of focus, I think, more on the whom shall I send and who will go for us. And then Isaiah said, here am I, send me, of course, as he sees the vision of the Lord, of course, send me. I see that you are Lord. I'm here, send me, and we should focus on that part of the passage, very, very important passage. But what our study's kind of been centered around then, and he said, go and say to this people, In other words, Isaiah didn't say, "Here am I, send me," and then he's kind of looking around and taking off. The Lord says, "Go," and then say to this people. Those are the words we've been focused on this month. Okay, so a little bit about Paul then. I'm sure you're like me. Paul's one of my favorites, as he should be, because of his role in the beginning of the church. And some of my favorite passages related to Paul there. Of course, he tells one of the times when he makes his defense, he tells the story of his conversion. And I like where he says, "What shall I do, Lord?" Of course, when the Lord appears to him. And you can think of all the things about Paul. Obviously, we're not going to spend the time to go through this. I did want to just kind of put a little visual up there. This was his trip to Rome, which of course is what leads us to this passage that we're about to look at a little closer. And then, of course, another favorite chapter. I know I've got a lot of favorite chapters and verses, but another favorite chapter, Acts 17, when he, of course, is at Athens, and what you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you. And then I make my defense, of course, and then one of my favorite phrases, true and rational words. You know, in the world we live in today, when people think they have all these ideas of what's truth and what good thinking is, it's amazing to me that it just simply comes down to what's most true and what's most rational, of course, is what God has given us, which makes perfect sense, doesn't it? The God that created the universe, the God that made us in His image, the God that sent His only Son to die for our sins. Of course, everything He has to say is true and rational. And I think at this point, when I think about that too, one of the challenges I think we face sometimes is with all that's in God's Word, I would encourage us to be careful with those things that we have questions about that God doesn't give answers to. And that's challenging, isn't it? Because we read God's Word and we come to something and we're like, what does He mean by that? And of course, that's why it's important we study, isn't it? But also, we should notice we don't have all the answers. One of the examples we're going to look at the end of our study, if I watch my time closely, is when we talk about change, one of the, of course, big changes that's coming our way is we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, from perishable to imperishable, from mortal to immortality. We don't have any idea what that's going to look like. Okay, it should be encouraging that that's a promise God has given us and that we're going to be changed to be with Him. Okay, but God had a reason not to give us all those details. He wants us to focus on what He has given us. So as we study God's Word and think about true and rational words, let's think about those that He's given us. And it's okay to ask questions, of course. God wants us to ask questions. But let's focus on those answers He's given us and not so much on the ones He hadn't. Because what that leads to, of course, is us guessing and having our ideas of, well, I think it might mean this, or I think it might mean this. Let's look and see if we can find what it might mean if God gives us that, but if He doesn't, let's keep focused on those things. So true and rational words, and so appreciate Bill and his two studies. I know a lot of you were involved in those Wednesday night with Finding Truth and Sunday mornings with Make My Defense. Especially coming off our time with David Deffenbaugh. But I think, both of those are still on the website, aren't they? I think you can, I don't know, John, how long do we keep those classes?
7 years.
Oh, good. Outstanding. I would highly recommend that you go back, especially if you weren't able to be with us in those classes, go back to those two series. Finding Truth on Wednesday night, and I Make My Defense on Sunday Sunday morning. So that then leads us, I should have had you turn to Acts 28 already, but you can get there pretty quick, I think. Acts 28, that leads us to the next time we see this passage. Of course, Paul is in Rome. And I'll go ahead and start in 23. When they appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. Of course, they'd already heard him before. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. I always like those phrases, from morning till evening. When sometimes we're concerned if we go longer than an hour Sunday morning, how about we have some times where we just go from morning to evening studying God's Word. And some, in verse 24, and some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. Of course, this gets into what we have up on the screen now. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. And of course, he's about to cite this passage that we've been studying. And that, of course, gets some people riled up a little bit because he's basically calling them out for those that are disagreeing and showing them in God's Word that was prophesied. I mean, how would we feel? Hopefully, we'd be like those that believed and saw and not those that took offense to that or got angry about that. But then, of course, Paul cites this passage. Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Notice they have closed. They chose to close their eyes to see what was right in front of them. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Okay, so we're focused on that word turn this morning. And again, as we've done the last 3 weeks, and what's so encouraging to me in a study like this, you'll notice as we go through these next, five slides, the passages that you're going to read are from throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture. So these are common themes that we see throughout Scripture. So as we think about the word turn, one of the first things that I think stands out is this next slide. He is given assurance. He's given assurance. And I'm glad we're where we're at. Of course, we could easily spend the rest of the class on any given slide, so I still need to watch my time carefully, but spend a little bit more time with some of these passages. Of course, he is given assurance comes from Acts 17, 30 and 31. The times of ignorance got overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Okay, again, I want you to be thinking about turn, return, repent, and change. We're going to see a lot in common with those words. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. That's why we have what we have from God, because he has shown us his Son, and he's proven he is who he is because he's raised him from the dead. We could simply just focus on that one truth to get us through, because that's not only helps us for this life, but it promises, of course, the life to come as well. So think about that assurance God has given us. Those first two verses, the words that kind of stood out to me, you have stumbled in that first passage from Hosea, and sinners in Luke 5. We've stumbled, we're sinners, but God has given us assurance through His Son. And then, of course, Ezekiel, that's where you're going to see one of the examples of how repent and turn are the same. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from what? All your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. And then, of course, Jesus tells us, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So see, hear, and understand. Don't stop there. Turn. I think another thing that we in this room are challenged with too often, we've turned, we've become Christians. That, of course, is the first turn to make. But as I hope we're going to see even more so every single day, we need to remind ourselves of turning to Him and changing as He wants us to change. And that it's a lifelong. When we were baptized, when we became Christians, yes, we turned toward Him. Because that of course, we're going to see in another scripture here in a moment, that was what He expects of us. That's how you begin that journey. Okay, but that turning, that returning, that changing, that transforming is another passage we're going to look at in a little bit. We're not completely transformed to His image in one single moment, one single day. We make that first decision, and then the rest of our life, we're trying to become more and more like Him in the image that He created us to be. So I think another thing then that stands out to us is with all our heart, our responsibility. Think about these scriptures. As we think about the assurance God has given us, think about our responsibility. Humble, become humble, pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. And then, of course, He hears and forgives and heals. And then again, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Of course, Lamentations. We need to constantly be testing and examining our ways. And then from Revelation, remember therefore from where you have fallen. So we need to always be mindful of from where we have fallen and repent. And of course, do the works at first. Remember, this was one of the letters written to one of the churches. One of the seven churches. Okay, so make sure we remember from where we have fallen and remember the work we did at first. So it's a constant effort through the rest of our life, isn't it? And then, of course, the scripture I alluded to just a minute ago. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And, of course, we know the passage to follow. But they were cut to the heart. When we see, hear, and understand, what happens in us then? Are we cut to the heart? We should be. But then what do we do about that? Just like they ask, what shall we do? And then, of course, the passage from Joel. And then we're going to look at second half of that verse 13 from Joel here in just a moment. It even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. So again, our hearts, with all our heart. And I think that's another thing too we need to be careful of and hold each other accountable, but encourage each other as we go through this journey. I think it's easy sometimes for us to show people, it seems like our hearts change. We try to show, I think sometimes by our actions, we're doing what we're supposed to do, but God knows the heart. So let's always be mindful. We're not just checking boxes. We're not just doing things because we want other people to see what we're doing, but we're doing them from the heart. We're doing them because our God wants us to do those things because of who He is. And that, of course, then leads to, I think, the next point that stands out to me related to turning and returning, repenting, changing, is who our God is, the Lord our God. And of course, back to Bill's lessons Wednesday and Sunday, that especially that Wednesday night series, that is the key of who God is. That's why we should be turning, because of who He is. Look at these passages. Let's go ahead and start with where the Lord your God comes from. Return to the Lord, the last verse there, Joel, the second half of that verse 13 that we just looked at earlier. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Why do we return to the Lord? Because of who He is. We can't think enough about who God is and what He's done for us. And yes, that should drive everything we do in life, because He is life. Remember, He's the author of life. So, of course, we should look toward Him for our life. And, of course, back up there to the top, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. The promise God gives us to blot out our sins, we need to think about what that means some more. And then that will help us, of course, I think, forgive others. Back to one of those guiding questions. When God saw, of course, from Jonah, because we're familiar with Jonah's attitude, Jonah's heart, and relationship to the people of Nineveh, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that He said He would do to them, and He did not do it. God, of course, keeps His promises, and if we simply turn to Him, He won't give the disaster that, of course, is coming for those who don't. And then, of course, passages related to the lost being found, the different examples of that. This particular one, of course, the joy. There's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I think that's something we don't think about enough, too, is the joy God has when He sees us do what He wants us to do just because He loves us so much. God's not standing over us just to wait for us to make a mistake. He knows we're going to make it, doesn't He? But the joy He has when we realize that and turn back to Him. Think more about His joy. And then, of course, His kindness, too, from Romans 2. Or you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? It's because of His kindness He wants us to repent. And then that, we're going to get a bell here. I'm getting almost there. Yeah, Chase? Yeah, is a particular change like that come to mind? Yeah. You're right. Change can be good and change can be bad sometimes. So that leads us then to what follows the word turn, I would heal them. As you're reading these passages, and again, I think if I did this one over again, I'd have a whole lesson on this particular phrase, because this is a promise God makes when we turn. This is the kind of God that we have. And again, look, comes from Gospels, the New Testament, Old Testament, the Proverbs. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And then from Proverbs, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. What wonderful promises. What a wonderful God that we serve. As the first bell is about to ring, brings us then to our last slide. And that's the change. It was interesting to me as I did the study and as I thought about turning. Of course, that's a change. As Chase said, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But this, of course, is the good kind of change. I think sometimes it seems bad to us because of what can come from it in terms of our earthly life. But it's the best thing, of course, that's possible when we think about this life and the life to come. But these four passages actually came to mind when I thought about change. And I obviously, even 5 minutes won't be enough to cover these, but we'll cover as much as we can. And then I want to encourage you again to make sure you study more and more. But Ephesians 2, 1 through 22, think about the changes here. We were dead in our trespasses. Then what? God made us alive together with Christ. We were separated or far off. Then we were brought near by the blood of Christ. We were strangers and sojourners. Now we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Here's an example of what I mean by studying this passage further. One of the things that I noticed in looking at these phrases that are up there, made us alive together, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's another thing we need to think more and more about, is what we mean together with this change and why we can't do it all by ourselves and why that's so important. I think that's something I'm guilty of. I'm comfortable sometimes to share something that I'm struggling with. When I do, how much better it is because of the person that I shared it with and the encouragement we have with each other. I know Sawyer's not in here, but he's been leading a small group of men on Tuesday mornings. You've seen it in the bulletin. It's called Rooted, name he came up with to just describe. And it's great to think about one of our young men. Of course, if you don't know Sawyer, he and Mackenzie, they have Peter that just turned one. And the reason he did it was he wanted to know more about how to be a better father and husband. I mean, we're all being encouraged and blessed by it too. I think we average about six of us come 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. You men are welcome to join us any Tuesday morning you can. But his goal for creating that time and that group was he wants to know how to be a better husband and father. And he recognizes, and what a blessing it is, he recognizes he can't do it all on his own, so he's reaching out. He's reaching out to others to help him. And that's what all of us should be doing with each other. And then from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and such were some of you, and of course, you know the scripture that leads up to that, all the sin listed, and we were all there, weren't we? But then what? We were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From Romans 12, this is where we need to remember it's not a one-time thing. It's constant. I like the song, "We'll work till Jesus comes." I mean, that really says it. Talked to a brother the other day, and he said, "I want to be tired when it's time. I want to come to the end of that journey. I want to be tired." And that's how we should all be thinking. But it's because it's a lifelong transformation. We don't just become like Christ the moment we become baptized. We are in Christ. We become in Him at that time. But then the rest of our lives, we're trying to be transformed. As it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's all help each other day by day to do that. Renew day by day, another phrase. I think that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, maybe 6, somewhere in there. Renew day by day. Our bodies wasting away, this earthly body, but our spiritual bodies are being renewed day by day. And then finally, I know that was the last bell, but back to what I said earlier. This is the passage, of course, the twinkling of an eye. We're changed from perishable to another change that we make. I want you to think about these changes as you go back and study this some more. But another change that we're all going to make is that change from mortal to immortality, from perishable to imperishable. We don't know what that's even going to look like. It doesn't matter because God has promised it. God's going to give it. It's going to be, if you just think of all the good things that you've experienced in life, won't even compare to that, because we know the God that's promised this has something in store for us that we can't comprehend. It's part of the reason He hadn't told us what it's like, because our human minds couldn't comprehend it to begin with, but it's going to be far beyond what we can imagine of how wonderful that is when that happens. Of course, our goal is to be in Him when it does and to become more and more like Him each and every day. So thanks so much for being here this morning. Next Sunday, we'll start a short series on Psalm 119, which, of course, will again relate to this because we're looking at God's Word. Psalm 119, read it before next Sunday. We're going to break it up and look at that the next four Sundays about God's Word and just how special it is and how important it is. To think more and more about, learn more and more about, study more and more about, encourage each other in regards to His Word as we go from day to day. Thanks again. Let's get ready for our worship. Thanks so much for being in class this morning.